Joining me now, David Grzybowski, published author. His new book called Mr. All Around, The Life of Tom Gola. Of course, Tom Gola, a Philadelphia legend, a LaSalle legend. And David, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time.
So you are 27. How does a 27-year-old find the passion to write a book about a basketball player from decades before they were born?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question right now, and happy to answer it. Yeah, so I went to LaSalle. I'm a proud LaSalle alum, the class of 2013. So my senior year at LaSalle was a Sweet 16 year when, the Southwest Philly Floater was famous and all that jazz. So yeah, during that time, Gola was still alive, and I had the opportunity to meet him, and I did a newspaper article on him when I was a student there, and one thing led to another. I kept in contact over time with the Gola family, and as I graduated from school and got into the TV career for a little bit, and I wanted a side hustle, a side passion project, and someone said, someone should write a book about Tom Gola, and the more I thought about it, I thought that person should be me, and you know, like I said, kept in contact with the family. One thing led to another, and here we are now with a finished book, and I'm really excited about it. Hopefully people can pick it up, and it's definitely a labor of love for sure.
Is that article, is that where you still, when you decide, okay, I'm going to write a book about Tom Gola, is that the ground zero? You go back to that article and you build off of that?
Absolutely, yeah. It probably even goes further to that. This actually started when I was doing a senior project on the history of the LaSalle Explorer mascot. And the archivist at the time, Brother Joe, who's still at LaSalle, said, you know, I meet with Tom Gola once a month. I'm really friendly with the family. I met him through Brother Joe. And, you know, it's funny how kind of like a school project ends up being my next career phase in my life with end up being a book. But I definitely think Gola's legacy and story needed to be heard. And I'm just happy to be the person to do so.
Did you appreciate when you started this, you knew who Tom Gola was, you knew what he meant to LaSalle, but did you appreciate the footprint that he had left on Philadelphia, LaSalle, and in basketball history?
Yeah, I did. I think people that went to LaSalle when I was there and even now probably just say like, okay, there's an arena named after him. He must be alive. But at the time, and you know, now obviously he's not. He's passed away back in 2014. But I think so for sure, because everyone has their – I'm a big college basketball fan. Everyone has their big program people that they rob around. You know, Duke has the Coach K's, LaSalle, you know, Lionel Simmons and Gola, and the Temple has their people, and you know, Jay Wright at Nova. So I think – Gola's story is so interesting, and I'm just saying that because I'm a LaSalle guy and I went there, but like I really think it's up there with you know, the basketball greats of the Philadelphia Big Five area, and not only just Tom Gola, but the LaSalle program too has a rich history that I think kind of gets overlooked. But yeah, I think I definitely knew a lot about Gola prior to researching him, but there's definitely things throughout the book process where I was like, oh wow, this is neat. I should include this in the book, which is definitely, I hope people can check it out and see that it's not just about, you know, basketball stats and statistics and who won what game, but it's more about like the interpersonal life he lived and what he was like as a, you know, as a person and a player as well.
And it's interesting, there's player, there's coach, and there's politician. And I think the politician part is probably the part that people don't realize the most, but he was a player in the city.
Yeah, he was. I think that's the number one question when someone asked me about this book. I had a couple people ask me, is the politics chapter involved? I said, of course it is. Like, it's part of his life. And I think there's three or four chapters in the book that cover the political angle of his life. He ran for city controller in 1973, didn't get reelected. He ran on a joint campaign with Arlen Specter, and they were kind of like a young kind of tag team. He brought the professional side of his popularity, and Arlen Specter brought the professional side of the political realm, and they kind of ran a forward-thinking political campaign. I would say like a digital age campaign before the digital age came. And like, you know, obviously we're used to a 2018 digital campaign now, but it was kind of revolutionary back then. He ran for mayor in 1983, didn't win the Republican primary, was a state rep in 1966 and 1970, while also being a state rep, he was also the head basketball coach at LaSalle for 2 years, 1968-1969 team. So I think the political angle of Gola's life is just as interesting as his basketball self. Obviously, he succeeded more in basketball, but I think it's interesting to see a guy that dabbled into politics pretty much based off the popularity of his political – or excuse me, his basketball career, which kind of set up his next career in politics.
And that was kind of my next question. In talking with him before he passed and in your research, Was politics always something that he thought was a possibility, or was it something that once basketball had started to wind down, he looked as a chance at a new chapter?
Yeah, I think there's a couple articles near the end of his basketball career in the NBA with the Knicks that someone said to him, you should run for political office. And it's funny, some of his teammates from the Knicks team said he always dressed really nice, like a politician. So foreshadowing that he eventually did go into politics. But I would say so. I mean, it's kind of what you see today in the political world now. You have these political figures with large audiences that may not have the most political background, and they just run. I think kind of Golas, maybe I wouldn't say started that, but he was one of those people that you see now that in this digital age that you have popularity, you use that to your advantage to kind of get more votes. And he definitely used his stardom in Philadelphia, running for Philadelphia politics, in a city he grew up in. So there's no better way to kind of start your political career in a city that you're most famous in, which is Philadelphia.
Was there a signature issue, politics-wise, that he was, I don't want to say associated with, but cause he pushed or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, he was the city controller, and his main message in the 70s is that he was going to find out how the city's money was being spent. So that was his number one goal in doing that. But I didn't write this in the book, but it's kind of interesting. Interesting tidbit that Golola had the idea before Veterans Stadium was being named Veterans Stadium. He had the idea of potentially having a sponsor have the naming rights to the vet. So maybe if Golola's idea went through, it could have been called some successful bank or some big wig name back in the 60s and 70s. So I didn't write that about the book because I wasn't sure if it was 100% accurate, but that was something that was brought up and other books and other research I did that I think was interesting. So maybe with the thanks of Gola, if it happened, it obviously didn't happen, but maybe it could have been a TD Bank back in the 70s that was TD Bank Stadium, but obviously it became the Vet. But I think that was an interesting kind of anecdote from his political time.
And boy, how that would have accelerated things.
Right?
Huh?
It's kind of interesting. it's kind of weird, but I think Gola kind of like was a forward thinker. Like, not only just in basketball, but he set himself up for success in the long haul. It's kind of like what Ron Jaworski did with his playing days and kind of established his businesses. Now he's on TV, did all that stuff. I think he was kind of that kind of model back in the 60s.
All right, so let's talk hoops. Let's talk Tom Gola, the player. For people who aren't familiar with him but love basketball, are there one or two more recent players that you could point to and say they've got Tom Gola's game in them?
Yeah, I would say Draymond Green. I would say also Ben Simmons, but we'll just stick with Draymond Green because I don't want to be a Philadelphia homer either. But definitely Draymond. He's definitely someone that, when push comes to shove, you could potentially bring the ball up if need be. I know he doesn't do that now, but he can grab rebounds. He can get a triple-double. He actually passed Tom Gola, I believe, last season with the all-time Warrior list for triple-doubles. I think it was around 2021. But definitely someone that can bring the ball up, who is 6'5", 6'6", who can shoot, who can do everything, literally all around, no pun intended to the book, but he can really do everything on the court and grab a triple-double on a nightly basis. And Gola did that in the 50s, kind of unheard of to see someone, a 6'5", 6'6", figure in 1950s bring the ball up because – and back then, you would imagine that person would be down low as a center grabbing rebounds, but Gola was bringing the ball up and being a center at the same time. So definitely Draymond Green, without a doubt.
And he was dominant and a part of some great teams during his time in college.
Yeah, he was. He is only one of two players to win NIT, in 1952, NCAA championship 1954, and an NBA championship 1956. So he won all three in a span of almost four or five years. So yeah, like I said, freshman year, he won the NIT championship in 1952 with LaSalle. They got kicked out in 1953 early in a tournament against, I believe it was St. John's, and then won the championship against Bradley in 1954, and then went back to the NCAA championship in 1955. But a guy named Bill Russell and Casey Jones were there to kind of start their new kind of wave of college basketball, and they beat the Explorers. But yeah, he had a very decorated career in college basketball, the all-time leading rebounder in NCAA history, which I think is why I think this book still has legs, and which why his legacy needs to be heard, because you go to record books and, you know, LaSalle has Lionel Simmons in the top four and scoring all time, and Gola's number one in rebounds. So I think Gola's, you know, his name is still heard to this day, and he'll ever, he'll forever hold that NCAA rebounding record for eternity, because if he has if he's a player, if you're a player now that's grabbing 20 rebounds, 20 points a game, you're going to the NBA right off the bat, and you're probably going to Duke or Kentucky. So that's never going to happen. I think his legacy and his record will forever be broken.
Did you interview him more than once or just the one time?
A couple times. But obviously, when I interviewed him, a lot of the quotes in the book are, I would say 89% are from attributed to newspaper articles and clippings.
Right.
But some of it are actually direct quotes from him. And I think it's so interesting that maybe if he was still alive to the day, this book would have been probably 400, 500 pages, because I would have so much more to work with. But yeah, in the brief times I met with him, his health wasn't the best, but I got what I could out of him at the time with, you know, some direct quotes of what it was like to, you know, just be a basketball player, be in Philadelphia, and why he wore the number 15 and so forth. So yeah, my meetings with Gola were great, and I was definitely, you know, I'm blessed to write this book and happy to do so.
Why did he wear 15?
He wore 15 when I interviewed him, was because I think he was an altar boy at the time at Incarnation, a grammar school here in Philadelphia, and I think they were handing out numbers, and number 15 was his altar boy number, so I think he kept with it. And he actually turned to number 10 for a little bit, I believe, when he was at LaSalle College High School. He was number 6 for the Knicks, so he primarily wore 15 throughout his career, you know, from grade school leading up to the NBA and into college.
How about coaching? Was coaching always something that he was going to do, or was it kind of just the next logical step once the playing days were done?
Yeah, I think at the time in 1968, 1969, LaSalle was sanctioned by the NCAA from their previous coach, and they're kind of in trouble. And you kind of learn that in the book of exactly what happened. But Gola was kind of called upon to kind of save the program at the time. He wasn't coming back to be the savior, but he ended up becoming just that. That team was 23-1. They were just inducted into the Big Five Hall of Fame. Fran Dunphy was on that team. Kenny Durrett, Bernie Williams, Stan Lidarchek, Larry Cannon. A lot of some of these famous Big Five basketball names. And Gola took that team by storm. A lot of people said that 23-1 team could have potentially went to the NCAA tournament to beat Lou Alcindor and UCLA that year, who was obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and stuff like that. But yeah, Gola's coaching legacy was a hot 2 years, and he did pretty good for himself, but went back into politics. But yeah, that 23-1 team in 1968-1969 season is definitely a team that's still talked about today, and it's actually the biggest chapter in the book, which is definitely kind of important dating to you know, the 2018 landscape of basketball today, because this team is still talked about.
So what does this book mean to you? Because this is part of your legacy now. And I wrote a book, and one of the neat things was you have something, you know, and we're in media and we do interviews and stuff like that, but this is something that you're always going to have. So what does this book mean to you, and what has this experience meant to you?
Yeah, this book process has been a grind. I know it's kind of a cliche statement, but it actually has been a grind. You know, when I first saw it in stores and in Barnes & Noble, it was kind of a really emotional moment because, you know, like you said, this media business is tough. I was in a TV business for a couple years and still dabble with creating content here in the Philadelphia area. And to see your work on the shelves is kind of really cool. It still hasn't hit me yet. Some days it does, sometimes it doesn't, that I have a book in stores. And it's funny, my mom just went to the Barnes & Noble the other day and took a picture and saw, you know, my book with the new sports releases and, you know, items to buy this holiday season. So it's really cool to see, you know, your hard work kind of be put together. Like I said, it took me, you know, almost 3 to 5 years span in regards of just working as a side passion project. But it's really cool to see it in stores. And like I said, I hope people eat it up. And I now have a new appreciation for authors now, because now I know what it takes to actually put a book together. This definitely is an example of putting my mind and executing on an idea, and I'm just happy to see it come to fruition.
And I think, I don't know if this was during the interview or when we were talking off the air, I think you said you interviewed like 125 people for this book.
Yep.
Let's take him aside, because that's obviously different. Who was the most interesting person? Who gave you the best insight of Tom Gola of everyone you spoke to for the book?
Yeah. I would say his brothers. Obviously, I'll mention some other names, but definitely his brothers gave me a behind-the-scenes aspect of his life that I didn't know, because I wanted to know about what was it like as a brother. You know, what was it like, you know, going home after, you know, scoring 20 points and 20 rebounds and having, you know, Kentucky and NC State knock at your door wanting your services? What was it like at home? So it was kind of cool to get that kind of home field aspect from his family, obviously. But, I talked to Coach Bobby Knight. I talked to Bob Cousy, some of these Hall of Famers, Bob Pettit, Tommy Heisen, Jerry Lucas. So it was kind of cool to talk to these you know, Hall of Fame players to get a behind-the-scenes look of what it was, what Gola was as a teammate. And everyone had nothing but great things to say about it, which is kind of cool to see, you know, these great players talk about Gola in such a positive light. And obviously I know Wilt Chamberlain is not here anymore, but he was quoted saying that Tom Gola was the best college basketball player he's ever played with. So it's kind of cool when, you know, the GOAT, to some people, say that, you know, Gola was an all-time great himself. It's kind of cool to see that correlation.
And as we wrap things up here, you mentioned Barnes & Noble. Someone wants to get this holiday season available pretty much anywhere now?
Yeah, you can go on Amazon. I have a website, tomgolabook.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @DavidGRZYTV. I'm pretty active with posting some behind-the-scenes aspects of everything. And actually, this weekend, I'm going to be on December 8th at the Barnes & Noble in Morristown, right across the street from the Morristown Mall at 1 p.m. So come out, have a cup of coffee, talk some current LaSalle basketball stuff now. I know we're obviously in season, and I hope people can check out the book. Like I said, it's a labor of love, and I hope people can check out not only just about the person of Tom Gola, but it also is kind of a history book of LaSalle basketball as well.
David Grzybowski, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for your time.